Let's begin with a word of prayer. Jesus, open up our hearts and our minds to move us to pick up our cross and to follow you. Amen. For more than a decade, George ran a very successful counseling business, and he had a contract in his little town with some major corporations. Now, most of the people who came to his counseling center came because they had their drinking problems. And the center's contract with the corporations enabled these employees to come, receive counseling in total anonymity. Their problems, their progress notes were treated completely confidential. And it was well known by each client that those files were seen only by the counseling staff. Well, one day an executive vice president of the corporation came and made an appointment to see George. And to his shock and amazement, this executive vice president told them that he wanted to have George turn over all the confidential files of each of his employees. Well, George very politely but very firmly said that no, that was impossible. These files were completely confidential. The vice president's face turned red and he spoke loudly and harshly to George, and he repeated his insistence that these files about the employees are to be delivered to him immediately. And George continued to refuse. Well, finally, the vice president stood up and he headed towards the door. But before he left, he turned around and he said to George, "One last time, turn them over now." George refused again. "Well, very well, tomorrow morning my legal department will give you a phone call and we will terminate our contracts with you immediately. How many people do you think you have that work for my company? Maybe 100 or so?" George again reminded him gently that this was confidential information. "No matter," he said, "we won't see any of them anymore." Well, George started thinking about what was going to happen. He saw that his counseling practice that he worked so hard for was going to collapse like a building being demolished by an explosion. And his personal finances would do the same thing. Now, he was a man of faith. So he prayed to the Lord that he might get some guidance both at that moment and for whatever the future may hold. But again, finally, he said to the executive in as calm a voice as he could that, "No, sir, I cannot give you those files. It cannot be done. It can never be given to you, ever." The vice president then walked back into the room and he sat down in his chair. "Okay," he said in a very subdued voice, "that's what I needed to know. And I guess that it's safe that I tell you really the reason I came. I have a drinking problem. And I need your help." When George uttered his final words of refusal, he stepped in kind of a personal and a professional kind of death. Now, it was the death that he freely chose because he had to do that as a professional, as a counselor, as a human being, but more importantly, as a Christian. He held out against those demands, even at the cost of his life, again, professionally and financially. He did that because he could not fail to do for Jesus what Jesus had done for him. You know, in verse 24 of our text for today was a verse that George knew very well at that moment. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me." Now that can be a difficult passage to understand, especially if you want to take it literally. Does Christ really mean we have to pick up a cross? That we have to become martyrs? And if not literally, then what's he saying? Well, Jesus is calling us to die. He's calling us to die or to give up or to walk away or deny anything that would interfere with our following Christ. Now, what might God, Jesus, call us to deny? Well, you know, that list is individual to each and every one of us. But some of them might be the same. Giving up a life that's centered around materialism. Giving up business practices that fail to consider the welfare of the customer, the employees, and even the environment. Drunkenness or use of illicit drugs. Choosing your own selfish desires and actions which you know go against what God is calling you to do. Let's look back on the text for today. It says at the very beginning that we know of what Jesus, of what Peter said last week. Last week he made the ultimate confession of who Jesus was. Back in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Well, as we pick up the text for today, Jesus explains to them what it means to be the Son of the living God. Verse 21 and following. From then on, Jesus began telling his disciples what would happen to him. He said, "I must go to Jerusalem. There the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses will make me suffer terribly. I will be killed, but 3 days later I will rise from to life." Now, Peter didn't like that. He couldn't imagine his Lord dying. So he rebukes him, saying that that should not happen. But Jesus, in turn, pulls Peter aside and says, "You're not following God's plan. You're following Satan's." And then he explains in that verse what it means to follow God. Again, you must forget yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. See, there is a cost for us in following Jesus. There is a part of us that must die to follow Jesus. However, there's also a reward for cross-bearing. A reward in life. A full, rich Christian life. Following Him has those costs and rewards. For example, a person who is willing to lose their life to Christ doesn't fear death. The person for whom Christ is more important than possessions is released from the slavery of materialism. The person who resists temptation is much stronger in resisting it the next time. The employee who maintains integrity in the face of temptation can look at the mirror without any shame. The person who sacrifices an afternoon of golf to help someone in need gains a sense of self-worth. There's a cost and there is reward in picking up our cross. Now, there are times when we succeed. There are times in which we do, in fact, pick up our cross, deny ourselves for others. But we don't do it consistently. And we cannot do it all the time. So thanks be to God that our Lord does exactly what He calls of us to do. Does what we can't do. He literally picks up that cross. Scripture tells us that Jesus emptied Himself to go to the cross. He set aside all of the powers He had as the Son of God, the power which could have put an end to the cross. He could have stopped Judas and the soldiers when he was arrested in the garden. He could have spoken up to Caiaphas when he was accused and he could have proven his innocence. He could have answered Pilate's questions in a way in which Pilate would have set him free. He could have stopped those nails from being driven into the bones of his hands and his feet. He could have come down from that cross when they mocked him, saying, "He saved others, why can't he save himself?" He could have taken any of those actions. But he literally did what he asks of us. If you want to be my follower, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. Jesus did what we cannot. So, by his ultimate action on that cross, his act on that cross and after being raised again after 3 days, we are given the power and the direction not to succeed in everything we do, but to know the assurance of God that when we fail, and we fail often, that we still have the grace and the forgiveness of God that allows us to move forward into that Christian life, the life of abundance. In His name, Amen.